kicks off. Short. Down to Jordan Hall at the 15-yard line. Up the numbers, and he is into the clear. One man to get him. Jordan Hall. Touchdown, Ohio State, 85 yards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second podcast for the Buckeye Blog Inside the Shoe. Today we're going to have Danny be joining us, and we'll talk about the Michigan game from a week ago. Some comments made by Gordon Gee, the Boise State upset, and much more. So first things first, we're going to go over the Michigan game, and we're bringing in Danny to ask him his thoughts over that game. Danny, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's just another solid win for Jim Tressel over Michigan. I was kind of surprised that Michigan only put up 7 points. I mean, no, Ohio State has a very good defense, but Michigan has scored more than that every single game this year. So that was the most surprising part of the game for me.
Yep, the defense was very, very tight. Michigan even made it a little bit of a game against Wisconsin. They scored something like 28 or something along those lines. That's pretty impressive by the Buckeye defense.
I think what really contributed to that was getting Bernard Robinson knocked out of the game early on, having Forsay have to play the rest of it. I think that really took him out of their game.
Yeah. I'd have to say that Jordan Hall definitely provided the spark in that game, simply because it was right after Michigan drove down the field, managed to score a touchdown in the red zone, and made it a 10-7 game. But obviously, soon after, Jordan Hall, with that big kick return, turned the tables, and it was home free for the Buckeyes from there.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a huge part of the game. I mean, Hall's had a lot of big kick returns all season, so it was nice to see him finally break one.
Him and Jamal Berry are above average on kick returns, I think. They've had pretty good returns all year, and I was just waiting for them to break one. I think another one will happen maybe here in the upcoming bowl game.
Yeah, that would be nice. But definitely, the Buckeyes running backs are in good shape for the years to come.
Yep. Earlier last week, Gordon Gee made some comments that TCU and Boise State do not deserve to be in the national championship picture or any really big bowl picture because they don't play the quality of teams that Ohio State and Auburn and Oregon play. Obviously, he ended up being right about Boise, but TCU is still up there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think he said anything that most of the country doesn't agree with. I've heard a lot of analysts on ESPN, CBS go over how they think it should be major conference teams. If there's three teams that are undefeated, you know, it's always going to be the two major teams that make it over TCU or Boise State just because their schedule, it's not week in and week out. They don't play the caliber of teams you do in a major conference. But TCU is trying to amend that by jumping into the Big East, so at least they're acknowledging that fact.
Yes, we did. basically, Nevada was down. Like, much like Auburn was down, what, 21-0, was it? 24-0, yeah, and it was surprising because they were down by 17 or so, and they came back much like Auburn did against Alabama, and they really made it close towards the end, and Boise State's kicker had a chance after Kellen Moore probably had a chance to win the Heisman on that play, that Hail Mary pass, had a chance to win it with a kick, and he couldn't hit the chip shot. And then he couldn't do it later in the overtime. And that led to Nevada with one of the biggest upsets in their school history. So,
yeah, that was a fun game to watch. Nevada looked very good in that game. And, you know, it's a shame that the Mountain West because I thought that would have been a pretty legitimate conference. But Boise State's joining the Mountain West, and then TCU and Utah are leaving it, so I guess we'll never really see those teams play consistently.
Yeah. TCU on the Horned Frogs here, they are going to play in the Rose Bowl, most likely, for the first time, coming up in about a half an hour or so. The bowls will be announced. And they'll most likely be in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin. Wisconsin is one of those football teams that you better bring everything you got, as the Buckeyes learned, and you can't have a bad game. You can't have a slip-up. Otherwise, they'll take advantage very quickly. Do you think that TCU even has a chance against Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah, I think they have a chance. And if anything, if history has shown us anything, so those smaller conference schools can pull off an upset on any given day. Boise State's shown that in the past. But Wisconsin's easily the biggest and the most physical team that TCU's going to face all year. I expect them to win pretty handily, but they can't fall asleep on TCU or they'll get beat.
The Big Ten has a legitimate shot this year at maybe even going undefeated. You know, you have Ohio State versus Arkansas. You have Wisconsin versus TCU. You have...
I don't think any conference is ever going to go undefeated in a bowl season. That would be a pretty remarkable feat. There's always going to be an upset or someone will stumble along the way. But the Big Ten definitely can put another impressive record just like last year in bowl games. It'll go help build the national perception of the conference back up.
Auburn versus Oregon in the national championship game. Sports Illustrated caught my eye a couple weeks back when they projected what the game would be like if it played out, if those two teams met. Obviously, they'll meet now. It said that it would be high-flying, their offenses. There would be no defense at all. That Auburn would take control early, and Cam Newton would show why he was the Heisman winner. Later on, in the fourth quarter, Oregon would hand the ball off to LaMichael James for the game-winning drive, I guess, and their defense would shut down Cam Newton after that, with like a minute to go. What do you think about this matchup? Definitely possible. They're two outstanding offensive football teams. I've never seen anything like Cam Newton. I'll be honest with you. His running ability is amazing. Probably better than Vince Young's was. But obviously, I don't think he's a better passer than Troy Smith was, say. But he's a freak of nature, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Terrell Pryor hasn't had the season people would hope for, but I have a post coming out Tuesday about why he should not be considered overrated. He didn't win the Heisman, but he already has better career stats versus Troy Smith and a majority of Vince Young's stats. I think that's pretty impressive as a junior, and he's coming back for his senior year. I don't think he's done. I think that Ohio State can still lean on him, and we don't have to look to Braxton Miller in his freshman year. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, when you're comparing those two guys' stats, I mean, Troy Smith played with Antonio Pippen and Deanie Wells. I think both those guys are better than probably all the running backs we have on the team right now. So more of it probably is Pryor has to do more himself. himself than Troy Smith has. Troy Smith could have handed the ball off 40 times a game, and the Buckeyes would have been fired in just about every game. But I understand what you're saying, that the expectations that were put on Pryor when he got here were unreasonable. I don't think anybody could have matched up unless they're Cam Newton. But Pryor's done a very good job on his own right, and I expect him to come back next year, and he's improved from freshman to sophomore year, from sophomore to junior year, so there's no reason to think he won't improve from this year to next year and be one of the top quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, he should be a front runner early, and I want to know if Ohio State will be in the top five. I think they will be, but it all depends on how they do in their bowl, I believe. Speaking of their bowl game, we're most likely going to the Sugar Bowl to face off against Arkansas, the Razorbacks. They have Ryan Mallett, a former Michigan quarterback who transferred. Do you think that Ohio State can prepare and be ready for Mallett's passing offense? I mean, it's really all it is. He's a great quarterback.
Yeah, I think the Buckeyes can do that. Trust Jim Haycock and Luke Fickell that they'll be able to prepare. Offensive teams don't really scare me as much as teams that play good defense. I think everyone would agree that Ohio State's defense is the strength of the team more so than the offense is. So I'd rather go up against the team where their offense is the strength and, you know, try and get a low-scoring game where, I guess, the team that has a good defense, they could shut our offense down, I feel. So I look forward to the Arkansas matchup.
Yep. Oklahoma, though, they're projected to go to the Fiesta Bowl to face off against UConn. UConn was beaten by a lower-tier Big Ten team, and yet they have a BCS Bowl bid. This is, I'd have to say, going to be a blowout by Oklahoma. I mean, anything's possible, but I don't. It's UConn. I mean, I don't know what to think about that. I don't think it's very fair to other teams. Maybe Boise, Michigan State even. I'm surprised that Michigan State won't be getting a BCS bid. It's too bad, really, because teams like UConn, they don't put on that great of a show. But what do you think?
Well, you know, congratulations to UConn. Randy Upfold's done a great job of that program. A couple years ago, it was nothing. And now they're at 8-4. They're a good team. Or I think they're 8-4. They're just, I don't think they're worthy of a BCS bowl. But they definitely, I wish there was a caveat in the BCS rule where I know all the conference champions automatically go, but there needs to be something where you can have a maximum of 3 losses or something like that. There's no reason. You know, I'm just looking at the standings that a UConn should get in ahead of a Michigan State or an Alabama or an LSU. Because I think from the SEC, you're going to see Auburn go to the championship game and Arkansas against Ohio State. So LSU, Auburn, or LSU, Alabama, then Michigan State. Those are all teams that, you know, are probably, I think everyone would say they're way better than UConn, but they're going to be playing in second tier, maybe even third tier bowls. Same goes for Nebraska or Oklahoma State.
Talking about Nebraska a little bit, they lost to Oklahoma on a field goal. They're obviously joining the Big Ten next year, which everyone's really excited for because this is going to be insane. I don't know if it's a good thing for the Buckeyes because it's definitely more competitiveness, but it also is at the same time good for them because it'll prepare them for big teams like LSU and Auburn and Oregon and teams like that. I think that Nebraska can really bring a whole nother level to the Big Ten just by coming here and playing football. And I'm interested to see what happens, but since they lost to Oklahoma, they're dropped big time and are now, you know, headed to bowls like the Insight Bowl and all that. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, Nebraska, they're a 3-loss team as well, so I think they're very good, but at the same time, you know, they lost 3 games. This they wanted to go to a BCS bowl or even a second-tier bowl, they had their chance. And Oklahoma beat them. They beat them by a field goal, but Nebraska had a big lead in that game, and Oklahoma came back. Landry Jones looked really good passing the ball, and Taylor Martinez did not.
Switching gears a little bit to the Big Ten, it's been announced now that it's been announced that Minnesota has hired Northern Illinois coach Jerry Kill. What do you think that means for the Minnesota program? Are they going up, or are they going to take a year or two to rebuild? Now let's move to Ohio State basketball here. We saw that game against Florida, obviously. That was a while ago. Now Florida is kind of falling apart, really, because they've lost like two or three straight or something like that. But we did beat a good Florida State team. We got a little bit sloppy in the second half, but we fixed it, and we ended up with a pretty big win. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, about Florida, they have lost a couple games in a row, but basketball is different than football. We beat Miami in football, it was a huge win. They lost a couple games and dropped out of the top 25. In basketball, yeah, the team, Florida's 20-8 at the end of the year. That's still a quality win over a good team, and it was on the road. That's something, the selection committee will look at when they're seeding or deciding, hopefully between a 1 or a 2 seed for Ohio State. They beat a solid Florida team on the road. And the same with Florida State. It was a sloppy game. Florida State looks about as bad on offense as you can get, but they have a lot of good post defenders. I can't believe how many block shots they have against Sullinger and Lauderdale. It's weird to see Ohio State get blocked more than they blocked, especially by the margin that it was in that game. But that shows Ohio State can grind out tough wins. They don't have to shoot them the lights out. Diebler definitely was off, depending on other guys. It's nice to see the Buckeyes being able to win in different ways.
Let's move to the main event in Cleveland a couple nights ago with LeBron coming back for the first time. What? you know you want to, because LeBron...
Now LeBron was back in Cleveland, and he still has not responded to my challenge to a fight to the death. So I'm going to continue to call the tower until I hear back from him.
As you should. Mo Williams just told him to go F himself. It shows on video that he told him that. And then later on, when LeBron was talking to the Cavaliers bench, the assistant coach decided it'd be a good thing to tell him to shut the F up, to put it nicely. But for the most part, Twitter and just the rest of the media, they were surprised because Cleveland players looked like they were just happy and cheerful with him, and they didn't really give it their all, and fans were giving everything they had, chanting Akron hates you, screaming Delonte West's name. What do you think was the real story behind that?
I think the Cavs just are a bad basketball team this year, and I think that's showing. They started off all right, pretty competitive, but they're struggling now. You're seeing the lack of talent on this team. They've got a lot of pieces. They have good role players. They have some shooters. They have some power forwards. one to be a go-to guy at all. J.J. Hickson is taking, he takes a step back almost every game now, it seems. To be honest with that game, I stopped watching halfway through the second quarter when I saw the Cavs bench players joking around with the plot. And it made me sick to see that they weren't taking this game as seriously as the entire state was, or at least the city of Cleveland. It was disappointing. I love the Cavs. I'm going to be a Cavs fan to the end, but I basically want to see all these guys traded now.
Yeah, I think...
It's time to rebuild from scratch. The Cavs have a lot of draft picks. A lot of draft selections in the coming years. I think they got four from Miami, two first round, two second round. You know, it's pretty clear they're going to be a lottery selection this year themselves. So, you know, hopefully maybe there'll be an NBA lockout and we'll get Jared Sullinger in 2 years.
That'd be nice. But, yeah, I wasn't impressed with the performance by the Cavs.
We've seen a couple of hard fouls. You know, it became apparent in the third quarter they weren't going to mount to come back and they were just going to, you know, sit there and take it. But, you know, Joey Graham was the only guy who even got a little physical with LeBron. He flopped a couple times and got the call. So it would have been nice to see, you know, Ryan Hollins or J.J. Hickson plant him on his backside a couple times when he drove in there. But team doesn't have that mentality. It seems that it was disappointing as a fan to see that happen.
It's very disappointing. I was begging Twitter that I hope that Cleveland players would just hit him, like, hard. Like, just knock him, football tackle.
You don't have to play it dirty. You can make a good hard foul and then plant the guy on the ground. But they just don't have that attitude. That game is really going to be bad for the franchise. The Cavs have been selling out every game this year, 20,000 plus. You know, the Heat don't even sell out their games. But with that performance, you got to wonder if the fans are still going to back this team the way it is.
Yep. Last thing, and then we'll wrap it up here. The Heisman. Cam Newton, it's been said on Twitter, and Twitter seems to be a trending topic here. It's been said on Twitter by many Heisman voters, the ones who actually cast their ballots in, that they voted for Cam Newton. And I think that he deserves it, but do I think he should actually get it? No. I think that LaMichael James should receive the Heisman Trophy because he's the best player in college football other than Cam Newton, and he hasn't done anything wrong except play hard. And it's too bad, but I hope it doesn't turn out to be like Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy, because if that happens, it's just going to be mocked and made fun of by the media for God knows how long.
Well, I think everybody kind of knows the NCAA's investigation was a joke at this point. I remember reading earlier in the year, and they came out and said, you know, if Newton's dad solicited funds at all, he's ineligible. And that's exactly what they found out. They determined that he tried to get Mississippi State to pay them, and they just said no money changed hands to Mississippi State, but for some reason Cam Newton then went to Auburn, but now he's eligible. So, you know, clearly he was the best player in college football this year, and I don't know if LaMichael James was the second best player. I think it's really Cam Newton and then a bunch of other guys that are way behind him. So if I had a vote, I'd be voting for him. Yeah, but there's nothing you can do at this point. He was ruled eligible, so you just go with it.
Yep.
I do hope Oregon kind of stops him in the national championship game. I don't want to see years later this comes out that he really took a lot of money and then Auburn won a championship based off of it.
Oh, that would be, oh, that would send college football crazy. That would just be insane. You know, I'm really hoping that in the future podcast that we can get Brady on here with you and you guys can discuss the playoff BCS picture, because I know you guys have talked about that a little bit on the...
I'm a fan of the BCS. I'd love to talk with anybody who's pro playoff system over the BCS.
Yep, we'll try and get him on here sometime, and you can both duke it out, I guess, is what we'll call it. But I want to thank you, Danny, for joining, and if you have anything to say, go ahead and say it.
No, I think Nick, I'm good. Thanks for having me, Ian. Go Buckeyes. Looking forward to the Sugar Bowl.
Yep. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Dorsey under a center lumber. Sands motioning. Back is Dorsey to throw. Yeah! He throws it in the end zone. Yeah! Incomplete. Yeah! The Buckeyes win the national championship as defensive pressure got the Ken Dorsey.